welcome to Crafts and Crime. I'm Amy.
I'm Elaine.
And as always, we have a craft and a crime. And this is our 1 year anniversary episode.
Oh, I guess I can't believe it. Yeah,
2 days from when this comes out is the 25th, which is when our first episode came out last year.
So we've been That's at crazy.
It for, I know. We've been at it for a year. And the 25th is also my birthday. So we'll have something, a little something. Don't know how long that's going to be, but we'll have a little something on our anniversary day to put out for you guys, as we talked about before.
So, yeah.
That'll be fun.
And I'm going to give you your birthday present, I think, on our next recording, probably.
Okay.
Just like when you gave me the Coca-Cola can. Oh,
and I couldn't wait.
Yeah. So since you did it, I'll give it so everybody can hear you.
Oh, okay. That's fine with me.
Wait.
I'm like, oh, gosh, I haven't been getting any orders pop up. And, of course, we hit record and it's like a new order. I'm like, seriously? And, oh, I'm not getting this one. It's so far away. Yeah, I'm not driving 30 minutes for that. I haven't been getting orders lately except for my regular and one of my regulars. And I'm still waiting on the other two. Like, I should have heard from the one guy. I don't know. I was looking at like my timeline. They all kind of just randomly, like when they put in an order. So I'm like, wait.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes they do their own laundry and then sometimes they're like, I just can't right now.
Yeah. I'm too overwhelmed. Or sometimes they're like, dang it, I keep forgetting to put in the order.
Right.
So I'm like, I have a feeling the one guy that I have over here by us that's like over what, like down
oh, and over that cool by where condo we used to. With the gates?
The one with the archway. And yeah, it has like the gates and it's like the two archways.
Is it the one that has the like the two single houses, like the doors are right next to each other and then the condo goes out and up? I think I'm thinking of a different one.
Maybe you're thinking of a different one. No, this is the one where it's like one story and it's like two little brick archways. And I was like, I don't know which unit it is. And they were like side by side like this. And
that's
I walked
what
up.
I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was like right there. You can't see it because the brick wall. And so, yeah, I'm like, that's his order. And I thought it was going to be last Monday because he usually puts it on Monday. And I think it's going to be this Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, or this weekend. Who knows? But yeah, of course, now I get one and it's like 30 minutes away and it's an express order, which is same day.
Oh,
I'm like, nope, I've got stuff to do. And yeah, and I don't even know this weekend. It's supposed to rain.
Yes. I know we were going to go to the storage unit.
That's right. Every time you're like, let's go to the storage unit.
It fucking rains.
Yeah. Well,
I also need the like on-site, not the like the owner, because the on-site manager, she lives upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But like the desk manager person, I need to talk to them because the last time Kurt and I went, which was a while ago, like my key wouldn't open it.
Mm.
Like it's just stripped or like the little nubbin on my key is messed up. And so like
we
I have
just go real quick today.
Well,
if we need to go to the feed store.
Yeah, that's true.
Might
because
well
I have
to at least get the lock thing figured
right,
out.
Right, exactly. Because I'm like, look, here's my ID. This is me. This is my unit. Can
mm-hmm.
you use your, because like, you have to buy the master lock from them. You can't,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
not one of the kind you bring your own.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the little cylinder and you push it in. It's like a,
oh,
it's like
yes,
a,
yes,
it's
yes.
like if you take a circle and mush it flat on top and bottom.
Okay.
And then it slides in there. So it has to be one of theirs.
Yeah.
And yeah, my key isn't opening it anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, did someone try to break into it and like fucked up the
maybe.
Lock mechanism inside? So
that very well could be. I'm like, we could just do that real quick and then go. We need to go to the feed store because Elaine's
right.
getting chicks next week.
I literally forgot it was next
how
week.
How many are you getting?
Six.
Six. Okay. Which
I pray
means
they
you're
don't
gonna
give
get
me
like
any
seven.
Extra.
They do. They always put in an extra.
And I'm like, dang it. Of course they're not going to put in the extra Barnevelder because that was a $19 chick.
No. But when you, did you have the option of when, you put in,
I did not
like,
ask for the extra because I know they put roosters in.
Oh.
That's
no,
pretty typical.
I think if you only, I've always gotten extra and with, cause you're getting them from Meyer Hatchery. I've gotten them from McMurray.
Mm-hmm.
And when you select an extra bird, it's a female of one of the breeds that you've gotten.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm thinking, I'm like, what was the cheapest one? It'll probably be an extra Orpington.
Yeah.
Oh, you can have it. If I get it, you can have it. I don't
miss my Orpingtons. I just have
really
a barnyard
excited.
Mix back there. All my chickens, I have, here we are talking about chickens again. It all comes full circle.
Right.
My Orpingtons are what we started with. And mm-hmm. I got, I think it was the city special.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like five and they gave us six. So
mm-hmm.
we had like the six Orpingtons. And we had that for a couple of years before we were like, oh, let's get some other ones. And mm-hmm. and then.
And those are like the classic, like what most people think of a chicken. Like
yeah,
that
they're
pretty
the big
buffy,
golden
brownie,
mm-hmm.
red combs, really puffy pants.
Yeah, they're so, they're big.
They're like the golden retriever of chickens.
Yes, they are the best. Like the sweetest. If any of you guys are thinking of starting in chickens, and Orpington is a perfect place to start. They're good with kids. They're really mellow. They do go broody sometimes, but not a lot. They are good, like, starter breed. They're not finicky. They're good with the heat and the cold. And they are dual purpose. So they that means, big. Like, you could have them for eggs or for meat because they are big. We never did. For me, we just let them age out until they all of them died of old age. Oh, except a couple of them. No.
Did one of them get caught by something?
Yes, one of them got caught by a coyote. So,
that's bananas. That fucking coyotes are going in our backyard. How did
wasn't us. It wasn't us. It was I had given one to Mariah. And so she lives in a different area that has more of like
the hills. They come
the
out.
Hills. Yeah, she's a little more towards the mountains. And not even far, but yeah, she had, I had just given her some, and she was like, oh my gosh, one of them, I'm like, it's fine, and it wasn't the Orpington, it wasn't the Orpington, sorry.
How dare you?
I know, no, it was the, I can never say it, it's the Salmon Favreau. Salmon Favreau, they're those the ones with really the fluffy cheeks and the fluffy feet, and they're just real fluffy. And yeah, so that was the one I think that got taken by a coyote. Oh. But yeah, so then I have like an Easter egger. I have a, whatever the black and white one is. I don't know my breed names. I know them when I order them.
and then, the zigzaggy stripey ones?
The older one that.
Yeah, Esther.
Yes, okay. Esther, the one that I accidentally gave you. And I was like, that is
those
my.
Those are,
like,
are cuckoo Morans. It's called that because it's a Moran that's mixed with something
else. I don't think she's
else.
A cuckoo Moran.
Really?
Yeah, because she was in the second order that we ever
then
got.
She's probably...
I would have to pull up my order.
The Baird Rock.
Yes,
mix.
I think she is. I think like she's a Baird Rocks. Baird Rocks. Baird Rock. But yeah, so I think those are the only two from that second order. So they're the oldest. Because then Miss Frizzle was the third one. So I have like the two older ones from my second order. And then I have Miss Frizzle, who was literally a local to us, like over by the fruit, kind of where I was telling you, that where the post office is.
Okay.
She was selling hatching eggs, and we got six. And out of those six, we got one female.
Oh, God.
I think only three hatched and two were roosters. Oh, no. And then you got Marla is her baby, because then we both ordered hatching eggs. So it's like this constant cycle of chickens. Yeah. And now I'm doing a cycle of quail because they only live about a year and a half. And so mine are about
a year
old.
That's crazy. Birds typically live quite a long time, even little ones. That's nuts.
Yeah. And so it's kind of a cycle of you take out the older ones and you bring in the newer ones. So it's like, I think when you're done with the little playpen for the chicks, I'm like, in the summer, you know, I have to do it in the summer because the quail are so tiny.
Yeah.
They're so tiny. Their eggs are like the size of my thumb, like tip of my thumb. They're so tiny.
Yeah. And can you imagine if we had button quail? Like they're even smaller.
I know. No, the quail are tiny enough. Remember when we're like trying to transport them? Yes. They're just like so flighty and you're like, oh my gosh. So... yeah, I really had to secure the quail down because Link and Lily decided to... I had to get locks for everything. I had to get locks for all the rabbit cages, the chicken run, and the quail run. Chicken run's big. It's a 10 by... What is it? 10 by...
20.
10 by 20.
It's a rounded 10 by 20.
Yeah. So it's a 10 by 20.
It's like 19.75.
Something like that. But it's like... yeah, because my 20-foot tarp hangs over like a tiny bit. I'm like, let me put like this much. Put my fingers together.
I still never told you what I had meant to tell you about that.
Oh, what?
I'll just tell. It doesn't matter. So when you do those, like with your, of course, nobody can see this. But when you do those,
your middle
fingers
together.
So, well, it's different ways. So if you would do like these,
and you have these long nails
here. I know, right? This here, the level of this was like a 20 sack back in the day.
Yeah, not know.
And so if you have like a dime, it was like you did like different things. They look like gang signs.
Oh my gosh, people are gonna think, and I'm like, no, I'm just I can't measure.
They
for
think
shit.
You're measuring out like now that's a dime. It didn't used to be, but like I'm talking about marijuana, not like coke or something.
Like that's a lot of coke.
Can you imagine $20 worth of coke for that? But yeah, so it was funny because we were talking about that. I was like, that's how you measured weed back in the day. Like. That's a 20 sack. And then I think you would do like that. Like that. There
oh
you
my
go.
Gosh. Yep.
And so depending on how you moved your fingers back like that.
Yeah.
That's like a I'm.
Can you tell I've never measured stuff?
Can you tell I maybe did, allegedly?
Yeah, I can't measure anything. That's why we got to get our tattoos. And they're going to think, man, she really likes to measure out her weed. No, I just need to measure.
I just
need to measure things.
Who carries a ruler?
Exactly. I will soon. But, you know, measure this. So, anyways, yeah, so the chicken run's 10 by 20. The quail run is like half of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot, or the quail run is a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And so Link and Lily got locked out because they just keep going in there and they mess with the quail. They get the eggs and they crack them and they play with it. And it's just like, stop it. You know, it's what do you expect from a 4 and a 6 year old? So we put locks on it. Well, then they decided to just start lifting up the chicken run. Now the quail run, mm-hmm. it's just an aluminum metal frame that has chicken wire on it. It's really lightweight. I actually moved that by myself because mm-hmm. I didn't want to wait for Jack and Troy to stop doing whatever they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is ridiculous. And so I just picked up the frame all the way above my head and just drug mm-hmm. it over the quail coop thing. So that's how light it is. So they lifted it up to climb in there. Well, in the process, they let out half of the quail. And quail are tiny little birds. And they are flighty. They don't really fly. Mm-hmm. They don't. But they are flighty, where they can get up to about chest height, mm-hmm. trying to get away from you.
Yeah.
And so half of them were out. And me and Troy took forever. So we had to anchor that down.
Yeah.
And so...
Is it with those, like, staples?
Yes. Like, it was like the little U-looking thing. And I just went all around the frame. And
yeah.
So they can't get the quail out. Because we're like, how are they getting out? And
did you ever find that one?
No. We heard them. I think it ended up in a neighbor's yard. It was a male, though.
Binks probably ate it.
Probably, because we heard it and we're like, oh my gosh, it's totally in a neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you like, heard him behind doing that, us. Like...
Yeah. The kikariki, whatever you call it. The little quail call. It sounds like a little laser gun, but yeah, don't know where it went. But
and then my chickens got out.
Yes, today. The neighbor.
Which is fucking crazy because they are like Artemis and Honeydew. Could not get out of the gap that they had dug under the run. That's what I figured out.
That's what
out.
I had to do in the quail run.
Yep. We have these like half railroad ties that the previous renters had left. Mm-hmm. And so I picked it up and I dropped it in this spot. And I was like, I think that's the spot right there. Came back out. Half hour later, they're all still
inside.
It
might be a gap in the...
No, it was that. I had, because there was a gap. Okay, there was a gap in the chicken wire, and I had to zip tie it back. But they kept getting out. And I was like, what the hell? And it looked too small. And so, yeah, Artemis and Honeydew couldn't because they're too breasty.
Yeah.
But the Samani are really skinny, and Marla's tiny.
Yeah.
And so...
How many were out?
All of them.
All of them except
in the front yard, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. So all of the chickens were out of the run except the one that's broody, the Samani that's broody. I wish she would stay and then she could take care of the chicks or she's going to kill them. And I'm like, it's whatever. But no, it only ended up being three. Two Samanis and Artemis.
Because it was the guy across the street from you. Mm-hmm. And he came over and he was like, excuse me. Because I had the front door open and I was talking to my mom on FaceTime. And he was like, excuse me. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's up? And he was like, I'm the neighbor across the street from you.
The guy with the ponytail?
I think so. He was wearing a beanie. I think it was him. Yeah, because he was like, my kids, which, you know, they've got kids there. I don't know. But he was like, oh, my kids said you guys have chickens. There's a couple chickens down over here. Are they yours? And I was nope, they're not mine. Mine are all in. What color are they? And he was like, yeah, they're all black. These like few black chickens. I'm like, okay, they're my cousins. I'll call her. She lives next door.
I had literally just woke up too. And you're like, your chickens are out. I was like, fuck, I don't have pants on.
Yeah, because I was on FaceTime with my mom. And then I was like, let me just message her. And if she doesn't message me back in like 5 minutes, I'll go out there and like ring your doorbell and like get out here and get your chickens.
The fence was totally closed. There was no gap. It was like, because we've had so much rain between this freak ass rain. Like it was 90 yesterday. And it's going to be like 56 or 54 and raining tomorrow, supposedly. So the boards, they're like privacy planks on the chain link fences that we all have. And you have like a nice little netting thingy. And mine is like
honestly
screwed in boards.
Honestly, I told your landlord, I was like, you should just take those off and do what we did. And she saw it and she's like, oh, that looks really nice. You could totally do it. I did it myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to, because
and you
they're
tie
like,
it on,
they're,
you just measure.
And every fucking time I try to open that thing, it's like, and because
the boards
warped and dragging. It's like a corner that they must have just pinched their way out.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
We could put new boards up or just get that. I don't know. I'll take a look when we go over there, but yeah, we'll figure it out. We got to rein in the chickens, rein in the quail, rein in the children. I don't know. It's been a lot. It's been a lot.
And I'm getting six more.
I know. Okay. I know. It's so great. I'm not stressed at
it's
all.
Like the, it's like the dog with the fire. This is fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. So, well, I guess we'll just go right into the craft. So I know this is our 1 year anniversary, and I was like, ooh, I should come with a really good craft. No, I did what I wanted to do.
Well, good.
Because I heard about it. I went down a rabbit hole about it and just like really thought, wow, this is cool. People need to hear about this if you've never heard about it.
I can't wait.
And I mean, technically you can make it, but probably don't. For your own safety. So anyways,
I can't wait.
So
you could try, but you might die.
You might not be very happy.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about the antimony pill.
Oh,
have you heard of this? You
I might know have the as name, talking about it. But I don't like, it's not ringing a bell. Okay. I know the name, but I don't. Yeah, I don't
okay.
Know.
So, man, another order popped up. What is happening?
It's Friday.
It is Friday, but I have not even last Friday. Silence, nothing, crickets for the past 2 weeks. But I'm also not going, how far is this one? Another 30 minutes. No. Okay, sorry. Okay, antimony pill. Back to work. Okay. So the reason why you've probably heard of antimony is because it's an element. It's known as element 51.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't occur in nature in its metallic form. And like most metals, it has to be smelted. From its ore, and in this case it's antimony sulfide. Okay. Antimony sulfide, also known as stibnite. It's a substance that like has just been around forever. Okay. So it goes back to biblical times. Jezebel, the biblical temptress, she was known to have darkened her eyebrows, and it was this antimony, the stibnite or whatever, was the main ingredient. And it was used by Egyptian women in a type of like mascara. So they were putting it on their like, you know, liner, mascara. It's this metal or the stibnite. I'm probably saying that wrong. So it's kind of a mystery. Whoever figured out that heating the antimony sulfide converts it to the antimony oxide. Which then, it's so scientific, and it's like chemistry all over again.
I never memorize my periodic table of elements.
Yeah, it's just, it's basically this fancy metal that they figured out. You melt it, and it turns in, as most other metals, it turns into something else. You add it with something. So, if you visit the Louvre, you can actually see a 5,000-year-old vase that's made from almost pure antimony, this metal.
Oh.
And it, so antimony has various uses, cosmetics, medicine, alchemy, and it has a bitter taste, and if you ingest it, it can cause vomiting, diarrhea, and other unpleasant effects. But some people believe that these effects were beneficial. So these fluids, you know, were in your body, and antimony would help expel it.
Oh, okay.
So these fluids, or humors as they're known, humors were blood, phlegm, yellow bile, and black bile, and these humors had to be balanced. Your humors have to be balanced in order for good health. And so a way that they would like try to achieve the balance is swallow a pill made of antimony, pure antimony metal. Yes. So that's why it's an antimony pill. It was used for medicinal purposes. So the pill is about the size of a pea, and it's really smooth. So don't think of like you're just taking a tumbled rock and just like, like a pill about the size of a pea. And it's supposed to like upset your stomach. Speaking of which, like my stomach, you know, I was like, well, I don't know, my tummy hurts today, but my tummy's been hurting for a while. So you take this antimony pill, and it's supposed to irritate the lining of your stomach and your intestines. And then it stimulates the secretion of the movement of all your humors. It would then pass through the body along with all your unwanted humors and be recovered after expelling.
Yeah.
And then you just wash it and reuse it.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm not swallowing a shit pill.
Yes. Yep. So it's never ending.
So then you just fish through your chamber pot.
You fish through your humors. You need to.
And I'm sure nobody's laughing.
And you pull out your little antimony pill, and then you just wash it off, and then you put it in your little cup, and you save it for the next time you need to expel some humors. Yeah.
Oh my god, gross.
Okay. I know. So see why I was like, I got to find out more about this. Yeah, kind of crafty if you think about the creation of it, and like, let's create this medicine thing to, into medicine. Weird. Yes. So, the antimony pill was first mentioned by the 16th century Swiss physician and alchemist, Paracelsus, who claimed to, he's like, I'm the one who invented it. And he called it a few things. I'm not going to try to say the names. They're all fancy. You get the gist.
Okay.
And he said it was like, it was a universal medicine. It can cure all diseases. It can prolong your life. It's like the miracle cure, you know. But he was like, don't misuse it. It could be dangerous if you take it too much or if the wrong person takes it. Like, don't give it to your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to kill your child. So Paracelsus's followers spread, you know, this teaching and like, you got to use the antimony pill all across Europe. And it became really popular, of course, among physicians, apothecaries, patients, especially in Germany, France, and England.
Mm-hmm.
It was used by royalty and nobility, such as Queen Elizabeth I of England, King Louis the 14th. Oh, I did it. That was off the top of my head. King Louis the 14th of France, right? XIV is 14, right? 10 is...
Yeah. Because it's 14. Like the 5 minus the 1.
Yeah.
It's fucking dumb.
Yeah, I did. I know. It's so stupid. I hate it. And Emperor Leopold I of Australia. And... some of them even had their own, like, little personal antimony cups, which were not a cup that you keep a little antimony pill. They are a cup. No, it's a cup made of pure antimony.
Oh, okay.
So instead of swallowing the pill, you're drinking the fluids that are sitting in this antimony cup.
Yeah, okay. So they're, like, saturated with the chemical.
Yes, so often it was wine put into it, and it
makes
just
sense.
Leave it standing overnight. Mm-hmm. So, like, just picture you pour a glass of red wine, sleep, wake up, and then you drink it. And this resulted in the antimony reacted with the acids in the wine, and it's going to induce vomiting.
You have to, like, leach it out of the cup.
Yeah, so you're having, like, tainted wine, and it makes you vomit. Like,
oh boy,
yeah, fun way to wake up. So,
gosh,
it's like, can you imagine just like wake up and like, oh, my tummy kind of hurts. Let me just expel it and drink my warm bedside wine in my antimony cup and vomit.
Oh, boy.
Ugh. At least you didn't have to fish anything out then.
I guess.
Yeah. So, of course, not everyone is a fan of the antimony pill. And even then, you know, people were skeptical and they were like, it's quackery. It's poison. You're going to kill yourself. They're a fraud. It's like the pea elixir, you know.
Yeah.
So they, you know, a lot of people were like, this is horrible for you. Like, you get nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, dehydration, death even. And so they're like, where's the science behind this? Where's the logic and the evidence, like, that this is being cured by the antimony? Anything's being cured by the antimony pill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just kind of brought into question, but people still used it. So one of the most famous people who are against the antimony pill was the 17th century English physician Thomas Sydenham. Yes, Sydenham, who is regarded, he's the father of English medicine. That's like his title. And he wrote an attack on the antimony pill in his book called Observationis Medicae. I said that probably so wrong, where he just said it was a murderous invention and like, you know, it's going to kill you. He argued that it didn't cure anything. It just made your body weak and more susceptible to disease. Well, yeah, you're going to be dehydrated from pooping and vomiting nonstop.
Right.
And so he's like, this is like dangerous. And he also said the antimony pill was like responsible for deaths, including Mozart's.
Oh, okay.
So he died in 1791 after he was treated with antimony compounds. He had come down with a mysterious illness and was treated with tartar emetic. It's an antimony tartar. I'm like, I don't know, which is what it was called. It's just like another form of taking the antimony. And we don't know what he was suffering from, but he died within 2 weeks. And he had all the symptoms of antimony ingestion, such as, you know, intense vomiting. He had fever. He had a swollen abdomen, swollen limbs, and that's all consistent with antimony poisoning. Too much antimony in his body. So, of course, we can't prove that that's what killed him, but
it definitely didn't help.
It didn't help. He also suffered with rheumatic fever since he was a child. So this could have just led to his death. You know, we don't know.
He probably had like a compromised immune system and just couldn't.
And then you take obviously all this antimony and it's like
puke and vomit while you're already sick. Puke and vomit. Yeah. Have vomit and diarrhea while you're already
sick. And throw up.
And bile too.
Yeah. All the humor is expelled.
So. Puke, vomit, and throw up.
Gotta cover all your bases. So, of course, this was controversial. It lasted for centuries. And then, like, in the 19th century, when the, you know, the theory of, like, expelling your humors was, like, given up. The humors theory was then replaced with the germ theory of, like, well, germs will make you sick, not your humors.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, don't go fish out your antimony pill and then wipe your eye and wonder why you're sick, you know.
Yeah.
So so today metallic antimony or none of it has been used in medical use, although it was used up until like the 1970s. But not in the way that like we think of. It was used to help parasitic infections.
So it just poisons the parasite.
Yes.
But they know how to dose it. Like, it's different.
Yes. So now. It was not, it's not used, but it was used, like, I think up until the 70s to help with parasitic infections. And it did kill the parasites, but it sometimes also killed the patient. So, yeah, even then. So I think they were like, maybe this is not the best way to kill the parasites if the patient dies too. So
well, they're dead. The parasites are definitely gone.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
So all the way up until the earliest 20th century, as we talked about, it was, you know, used, but it was also used as a remedy for, I mean, not really a good one, for alcohol abuse.
Okay.
And the New England Journal of Medicine reported a case of a man whose wife tried to cure him of his alcoholic habit by secretly putting antimony in his orange juice. And instead, it just caused a trip to the hospital with chest pains and liver toxicity. I mean, could be from antimony and alcohol.
I'm sure the two didn't go well together.
No. And so he stopped
drinking.
And the
orange juice would leach out so much of the antimony because of the acid.
Mm-hmm. So he was being poisoned.
Yeah.
She was like, I just want to stop drinking alcohol. Well, now his like liver's failing and all that or whatever. Oh, so so then the report says that, you know, apparently it did work because 2 years later he had not drank after that.
His liver was probably ruined forever.
Exactly, from the antimony.
He was probably hepatic forever.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the history of the antimony pill. And so I didn't know where to put this last little bit in. So I'm going to do it's a fun fact. It's just interesting. And then I have something to talk about. Well, not really. It kind of says itself. Okay. So that's why I put it in here. Okay. So this is from like Wikipedia. So just go, you could see it. It's literally like the only paragraph on there. Mm-hmm. So according to the Medico pharmaceutical critic and guide 1907, edited by William J. Robinson. Mm-hmm. So this is an expert excerpt from it.
He thinks he's an expert, I'm
yeah,
sure.
So expert. So expert.
Much expert. Next expert. So education.
Okay, so it says, and this is just the quote, we have referred in the past to the economy which used to be practiced by our forefathers. Thus, for instance, it was customary to use leeches over and over again, and there are instances of infection with syphilis by leeches that have been previously used on leutic patients.
Yeah.
But we believe that the everlasting cathartic pill beats everything in the line of economy. This pill was a little bullet of composed of metallic antimony, which had or was believed to have the property of purging as often as it was swallowed. It is not inconceivable that it might have had such property, for it is possible that a minute amount was dissolved by the gastrointestinal juices, and this amount, plus the suggestion, was sufficient to produce cathartic action. Man, my words don't like me. Then again, the everlasting pill probably aided, I don't know this word, peristalsis by its mechanical weight and motion. The bullet, as it was called, was passed out, recovered from the feces, and used over and over again. This, as Dr. J.A. Paris says, was economy in the right earnest, for a single pill would serve a whole family during their lives and might be transmitted as an heirloom to posterity.
So, I need to get on eBay and find an antimony bullet pill.
I had to use Ben's because it's gross.
Okay.
So my fun fact is this antimony pill actually was used by multiple family members, and it was passed down as an heirloom, and multiple generations would use it.
My great-grandpa shit this up. I'm going to get on eBay now.
Your great-great-grandfather Alfred
took this antimony pill every day and died.
His humors were expelled, and he lived to the ripe old age of 43.
I was going to say 42. I swear I was going to say 42. That's crazy. Antimony. It's probably illegal because it's poison. Let's see. Is it?
It's a metal.
Spell it for me.
It's anti.
Mm-hmm.
And then money.
But I'm like M-O-N-I, M-O-N-E-Y, M-I-Y, M-O-N-Y.
M-N-M-E.
Here we go. Antimony metal.
Yeah. I was like, it's with a Y. It's it's anti and then money. M-O-N-Y.
Okay, antimony pill. Yeah, I'm trying to.
I don't know. It is.
Antimony.
Holy
crap. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was I heard about the.
Here's some antimony pill boxes, like vintage boxes. No cups, but.
Yeah. So I should have said this at the beginning. So, excuse me. So antimony is on the periodic table. It is, like I said, it's element atomic number 51. And it has a symbol SB. Mm-hmm. So when you see SB, and what's really cool is like at the Griffith Observatory in, is that in Pasadena? No, not Pasadena.
It's in LA.
In LA, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, it's not LA, right? Oh, anyways, whatever.
Yeah. Wait. It's in Golden Gate.
No.
Sorry. It's in, fuck.
Garden.
I was just there for that concert.
I know, because it's not LA. It's Griffith.
It's Griffith Park.
Griffith Park, where you can literally go to this observatory and you can see the Hollywood sign from the observatory. But anyways, at this observatory, they have the periodic table of the elements with the elements in there. So like you could go and see antimony in person. It's number 51. But yeah, cool. So it's did you find it?
No, I'm still trying. I did some different words. No.
Oh, yeah, because like I don't think.
I found a lot of products made with it, but not.
Yeah. Antimony pill.
Maybe you type in bullet and I'll type in antique antimony cup.
Antimony pill for sale.
Yeah. Medication is bananas. I have.
You can buy it.
Oh, my God.
Buy the pound.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw those big giant ingots. I have.
So technically you could make it. I'm not telling you to make it, but just buy a pound of antimony and make your own pill.
Like
we do not do that.
Rock tumbler and just like tumble
tumble into a nice little pea-sized pearl.
No, I am. So I have a very small collection of antique medical books and it is scary as hell because you know antibiotics are very new. Like
yeah.
They're within the last century.
Yeah.
But I don't think people think about that. You know, like, I know it's like 300 years ago. That was actually not that long ago in the scope. Oh, okay.
Ah! Isn't that cool? You could buy, this was, I'm like, is this Etsy?
Basically it.
It is Etsy. Yeah. You could go on Etsy and buy antimony. This says antimony element cube periodic table educational display. It's like the little, acrylic block with antimony in it. And it says the symbol and everything. Sorry, I did not mean
to. No, it's okay.
I'm like, that's what it looks like.
They look just like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they look like little pea-sized pearls and just, they would take that and like, here, let's just swallow this.
That's funny.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're fine. And I believe the book is from 1921, I think.
Okay.
I have a couple. And then I also have one that is not, it's in Portuguese that my friend had got me. So I can't read that one. But I have two versions that are like really beautiful intact. And then I have another one that's like, it's totally falling apart.
Mm.
And the recipes, it's like, it's called the Book of Medical Knowledge. That's it. The Book of Medical Knowledge. And there's recipes inside because this was like your home remedy book you kept at home.
Yeah.
So we're talking like it. I remember there's pages in there. I know I'm a monster. I make art from it, but it's because they're falling apart and I have other copies. They're not even rare. You could get it for like $15 on eBay.
Yeah.
So I like would take the pictures because there, you know, there was like the etchings and stuff, and they're all falling apart, and they're like, some of the pages are literally crumbling apart, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and these recipes are like, oh, if you have you, literally one of them is like, if you have uterine cancer, like make a douche of like arsenic, mercury, yeah,
all this poison,
some vodka, and like spray it in there, you know, breast tumors, they're like, rub some mercury on it.
Yeah,
like, it's unbelievable. Because they thought this stuff worked, and it's really sad because they were just doing anything they could to try to make themselves better, and they thought this stuff worked because doctors told them it fucking worked.
Yeah. And that's the
medical
thing with
encyclopedia
this,
just, they would keep in their house was like murdering them.
And I'm pretty sure in one of those you should scour. There's probably something about antimony. Totally like check. You gotta take it. Look at this. Antimony, old antimony dragon embossed fine powder or pill box. That's all right. Antimony.
That's big.
I know. It's
huge. Weird. I'm like, should you not touch it then?
No, you can touch it, but like it's a metal. It's a metal. As long as you're not ingesting it, because think about it.
Yeah.
Remember when I said it was used as like a mascara? That's well, true. In a different form of antimony. Mm-hmm. So it was used as like a mascara, eyeliner, like whatever. Mm-hmm. You're not putting it inside of your body. I don't think that would induce vomiting. So this is more of like you drink from the vessel
it
made
would
of antimony.
It still scare me because like, you know, we're not supposed to touch pewter. Like it's pretty, but like lead. You can't eat lead.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So yeah, with our sweaty hands. I'm
that's
like,
what I'm saying. I'm like, our hands
the
are
antimony.
So
I wonder why my
sweaty.
Tummy hurts.
I'm like, we probably shouldn't.
I know. So yeah, I was like, I just thought it was cool. That it's not cool really heck. A craft. You can find all kinds of antimony stuff. I thought it was really cool. And so it's just like somebody took a metal and made it into something.
I mean, somebody had to craft it,
into something.
Even if it was wrong.
Yeah. And then they had to insist it worked to cure ailments. And
here,
so.
Take grandpa's shit, Bill.
Could you imagine taking care of someone
who
is so...
Who has a family poop pill?
Seriously, does anybody have your poop pill? Your family's poop.
Who borrowed it last?
I can't imagine. You're like, Mom, my stomach hurts. You need to go expel your humors. Get it out of the pill box. Get the antimony pill. Don't forget to fish it out when you're done and put it back.
You better not lose it.
Could you imagine? Though I was gonna say, is could you imagine taking care of somebody who's like basically on their deathbed and you have to fish out the antimony pill? We can't lose that antimony pill. It's been in the family for generations.
We have to hand it down. No.
Yeah, so
no.
Yeah, not quite a craft, but I thought it was really interesting, and I was like, hey, it's our podcast. We could do what we want.
Right?
Here's
do you think they took that antimony pill out of his body, Mozart's body, when he died?
I don't know.
They
or did he expel
it, out when
it
like
before?
When
you- I don't know. Yeah, and then sell it for top dollar. This is Mozart's antimony pill.
We didn't wash it.
We didn't. Yeah. It's got his humor still.
So, no.
I don't know. I can't. But I was like, when I heard it was passed down through generations, I was like,
yeah.
What? And then it was used by multiple family members. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want to take something into my body that came out of your butt.
I don't care how many times it was washed. Like, they weren't using soap, I'm sure.
Like, it was my story, and I'm gagging.
It's gross. It like, really, it's gross. They were probably just like, rinse it out in your wine cup. Just rinse it out.
No. No.
And it looks porous. Like, it doesn't look smooth.
No, it's not smooth. Oh,
and that's why everybody was puking and dying.
Exactly. It probably wasn't
fucking
even the
dysentery.
It probably wasn't even the antimony.
It was the diarrhea.
It was Giardia.
Oh my god!
So gross.
Who brought the typhoid pill? Oh my god.
Ooh. Oh, I had to like air out my ears for that one. My headphones were making me sweat. So yeah,
I'm so sweaty right now too. It's weird.
Okay, I'm so sorry. That was okay. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. So you're welcome, everybody.
Thanks.
Yeah,
that's funny. Now I'm like, did I only hear of the word because of like vaguely paying attention in chemistry?
Maybe because I'm like antimony, but it kind of sounds like alimony.
Yeah.
So maybe in your head you're like similar. I don't know, but yeah, it's a maybe from chemistry. It's a element 51. Okay, so let's bring it down.
Yes.
Or you bring it down. That's,
yeah.
That's my job next time.
I don't know. You brought it down with poop.
I know. Sorry. It's a really shitty episode.
It's about to get worse.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, My case this time, this week around, is called... Now, I'm not sure if this is going to ring any bells for you because I'm going to mention something later. And if it just hold it in.
Okay. Like,
that's all I'm going to say because I have something to say at the end.
Okay, I won't say a word.
You have to listen to all the way to the end.
I will try.
Okay. This is the story of the Vampire of Paris.
Okay.
Okay. In the early 90s, like 92, 3, there had been a series of murders that seemed to be driven towards, it was hate crimes, towards gay men. And they were shot and they were dead. I think there was like six, okay. I believe. And in the end of, like, we're getting right into it. In the end of October of 1994... A 22-year-old man has entered a shop. It didn't say what kind of store it is. Kind of sounded like a pawn shop, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
He entered a shop, and he had tried to buy some video recording equipment, and he had a check with him. And when the cashier wanted to see the identification for the check, because, like, who does that now?
Nobody
does. But, like, so, you know, they went to go double-check the ID, and the 22-year-old man hands over the ID card and, like, for one, the ID card has, like, literally, like, a glued-on photograph over the person's picture.
Like, actual, who the person actually is.
Which, in case you don't know, outside of the United States, but in the United States, like, we get stickers put over our cards when there are changes. Like, you, if you change your address or something, which, who the hell, nobody does that. You go tell them you change it, and they just give you a sticker, and you, like, put it on. Yeah,
I don't know if they do that now.
Maybe, probably not, because we're getting into that real ID thing.
Yeah, I don't think they do that now. They did, I think, but they don't do that. They don't do that now.
But this is obviously something that is not legit, and the signatures don't match up. As soon as this man realizes something, they're suspicious, he books it. And so the, you know, the police are called. They have a fancy, like, you know, Parisian name. I'm not gonna say it. So their police are called, and what the shop worker at this time didn't know was that the ID was that of a missing 34-year-old man. His name was Thierry Bissonnier. And he had actually been reported missing for a while by his parents. And unfortunately, his parents had just found him dead in his apartment when they went to go check on him.
Oh, okay.
So police are totally on the lookout for this man now, but they don't have a lot to go on. They just have, like, the guy, the picture of him on the ID, like, no real name or anything. But so, you know, be on the lookout for a tall, pale, white guy with long hair. So it wasn't doing great, but luckily it really didn't take very long. A couple of weeks later, they don't explain what the altercation was, but this man had gotten into some kind of an argument, I think, with a woman, actually right outside of the Moulin Rouge.
Oh, okay.
And
when, this is in the 90s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 99.
And so this is 94.
Oh, 94. Okay.
Yeah, the end of October 94 when he tried to buy the camera.
Okay.
And so the police have shown up to kind of assess the situation, and they immediately recognize this is the guy they've been looking for. You know, because, like, the cop sees him and he's like, that's the guy on the picture, like, at the station.
Yeah.
And so they have you know, they get to his place. His name is Nico Clou.
Okay.
And he has a small apartment in the red light district. Yep, getting that district. But he, in the red light district outside of the Moulin Rouge, it's like a little kind of a not great area. You know, his appearance is immediately judged. He's like a gothic dude, you know, kind of a kind of a gothic dude. Long dark hair. He has tattoos, specifically serial and killer tattooed down his forearms.
Lovely.
And he has predator tattooed across his stomach. You remember those hood ass tattoos that dudes would get? Like, oh,
yeah.
Like, dumb.
Like, it looked like that. Okay.
Yeah. And predator across his stomach. His apartment was full of human bones. Now, they were made into, like, art pieces, like, mobiles. We're talking Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, bones. They're just hanging.
Yeah. I'm following.
And, but there were just piles of human bones. Every surface had human teeth on it. Yeah. And you're like, they're what? Immediately like, what the fuck is like, happening?
Okay.
So obviously, you know, they're like, what's going on? And the thing is, like, his whole place is crazy. There's like, obviously, blood on things. Not like everywhere, but there are blood. There are blood on things. Like last episode, the information.
Okay, so there's blood on stuff. There's
like spots of blood on things, but it's not like crime blood. It's like I was holding this and I got blood on it. Like they haven't figured out like what is going on.
Contact blood. Mm-hmm. Like okay,
right. He has books. Same thing. There's like books that have blood on them. You can tell this is like I picked this up and I read it and I got blood on it. Like I picked up this like urn and I had blood on it.
Like when the cat sliced mm-hmm. open my finger and then I like picked up a box last night to move it mm-hmm. and it like kind of pulled the skin away because like my cat sliced my finger open when I tried to shave him and he was not happy.
Yeah.
And so it was like a little I didn't notice I had it mm-hmm. until I was like, oh my gosh, there's blood on stuff then. Yeah. Like where did this come from? Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, it looks like that. Like I can picture blood it now. Thrown everywhere. It's just weird.
Okay.
You know. He owns multiple urns, so that's weird. Because I mean, like, yeah, of course, you know, we keep urns when our loved ones pass away, but like, multiple? Do you have dozens? Like, do you have like every, you know, yeah, that's odd.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has every single surface of his walls are covered in occult art and paintings, drawings, and stuff that are done by him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see a duffel bag and it has like, you know, the suspicious types of items that, you know, police look for. Tape, mm-hmm. surgical tools, and handcuffs. But I did say I don't think I said that. He's a mortician's assistant.
Oh, okay. No,
sorry.
You didn't say
I meant to, but I skipped over that part. Yeah. 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 He's a mortician's assistant.
Okay.
So the tape and the handcuffs is weird, but the surgical tools would belong to him.
Okay.
Anyway. Among all of this insanity that they are immediately seeing, they, you know, they look around everything. Mm-hmm. Inside of his fridge are bags of blood. Like, you know, blood bank bags.
Okay.
Like the kind we always see in movies and those. Like he has those in his fridge. Mm. Yeah. And they're
in his fridge.
In his fridge. And
right next to the mayo.
Right?
It's so weird. Mm-hmm. Like yeah.
Gross. Oh God, it would be so thick.
Ew.
So the biggest piece of evidence is a .22 caliber revolver that's under his bed. But, you know, people have weapons to protect themselves.
Yes.
He lives in a not great area.
Mm-hmm.
but, of course, they are immediately suspicious because Thierry Bissonnier had been shot, like mm-hmm. the other homosexual men in Paris mm-hmm. at the time.
Yes. Yeah, so kind of.
So they're like, similar
circumstances.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So they take this information, all that they have, and, you know, they bring him in. The bullet is sent off to ballistics, and of course, it matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, we're getting into it. You know,
okay, yeah.
It matches.
Okay.
And so the investigators don't really have to push that hard about mm-hmm. like what had happened, and you know, they know that. It's so familiar, but he's like, no, I didn't do those, but I did kill Thierry. He confesses.
He admits to one.
Yeah, he admits to killing Thierry because uh-huh. He's like, no, I didn't do the other ones. You know, it was mm-hmm. just him.
Okay.
Because he knows he's caught. Like, he's like, whatever. There's nothing to be done now.
Yeah.
And so he will go to give a confession, a very graphic, in detail discussion. And confession. But before we get to that, I know, right? Nico Clu was born in 1972 at the end of March, and he was born in Cameroon, South Africa.
Okay.
Now, his dad was in 72, his dad's a computer tech.
Oh,
so he's very sought out after, and this job takes him all over.
Yeah.
So at this time, he's working a contract. He works for a major, they don't say, but he works for he works for a large bank.
Okay.
So he goes and fixes their bank computer systems.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which back then for computers, that would be security, the vault locks. It would be probably everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
The computers that took up this whole house.
Yeah, my whole bedroom's like one little server.
Yeah, exactly. So he was an only child, and that made it hard because, you know, it made him really lonely, and his dad was really, really busy. Because when he wasn't at work, his dad was like a, he's just a jet setter, and he was like his own little hobby anthropologist.
Okay.
So he just liked to leave the family and go on travels and stuff. Oh, and then lovely. When he would, and then when he would come back, he would always talk to his kid about like all the cool stuff he saw. And it was really, that was like his touch to the outside world.
Okay.
Unfortunately, at a really young age, he was nine. And at this point, they had moved to France, but just for a little while. And him and his grandpa were playing badminton. Obviously, this isn't like a huge thing, but what it kind of sounds like is like either Nico was harassing him to play badminton, or they were already playing badminton. And then he started like, no, I want to keep playing, you know, because all that was said was that like they were arguing and his grandpa has a stroke.
Oh.
A cerebral embolism and dies right there in front of him.
Oh, wow.
After he was just yelling at him.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
It really is sad. And even though they never treated, like they never said it outrightly, they basically blamed him for killing his grandpa. Because if he wasn't pushing. So yeah. But the thing was also his mother was not very mentally healthy either.
Okay.
So. You know, her dad dying, it's like, your fault. She was already just not well. And so that definitely made it very, very difficult for a child, a nine-year-old. Like, come on. So, unfortunately.
Gosh, nine. Like, poor kid.
Oh, I know.
Feel bad for the kid.
Absolutely. You know. It's really, really sad. Yeah. And he said, it's something that he mentions on later, that the wake was actually really beautiful. And it like awakened this, like he found the beauty in death, the mortuary, the funeral home, the grieving, the everything. He was like, oh, my God, they're in like this gorgeous bed, you know, like how normal his grandpa still looked.
Yes.
Of course, a 9-year-old. That's crazy. It's his first touch with death. His first experience. It's his fault, according to everybody.
According to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's just like in his own world at this point, which is still really sad. And unfortunately, his mom continues to suffer from her mental illness, and she gets worse and worse to the point where she's having like horrible night terrors about Nico. She's having night terrors that he's going to kill her, that he's transmitting thoughts into her brain to kill her. It's weird, you know. I'm like, is that what she thought he did to her dad?
Yeah,
because she's not well.
Yeah, yeah.
So unfortunately, she had a huge breakdown, and she ended up in the hospital for a really long time, actually. And then, basically after that, her relationship with him was basically non-existent. She didn't. She was scared of him. And like, how does that trauma affect a little kid?
Yeah.
You're evil. You're the devil. You're trying to kill me. You're killing me in my dreams. You're the reason your grandpa died. Like, what the fuck? So, he's already not feeling good about himself, and he's very withdrawn.
Childhood trauma.
Exactly. He's very withdrawn, just naturally. He says as a kid, even when he was little, he was like, he didn't get along with other kids. You know, maybe he's on the spectrum or something, you know. He didn't relate to other children.
It's on the spectrum.
Oh my God, it reminds me, we're watching Cobra Kai, and one of the kids is telling the main character Johnny, he's like, yeah, maybe on the spectrum, and he's like, well, get off it right now. Because he's so dumb, he has no idea.
Yeah. So we're not joking about being on the spectrum.
No.
We literally have friends who have kids who are on the spectrum, and
so unfortunately, I do absolutely feel bad for him,
for the child,
as a child.
Yes, for his upbringing,
his childhood. Yeah,
not making excuses for
no, but just, like, how did that
child
damage?
That really sucks.
And how did it damage his psyche for the future?
Oh, my microphone, sorry, if there's so much noise.
I don't even hear it.
Okay, I hear it.
So
I see it.
He ended up getting, again, still really young, and he really got into like the occult. And the thing is, too, his dad was probably like, here, sure, read this book. Read this book. I saw this stuff. Like, because his dad would come home with stories about voodoo rituals and crazy shit he saw. Like, not just because they're in Africa, but he traveled all over.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and Nico was like so into this. So it doesn't say that he fueled it. I'm making speculations, but it would make sense.
Yeah.
I have a lot of weird fucking books, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let Lenore read them right now. No. But like, you know, if you're like, yeah, sure, education, just read it. It's cool. Yeah. It is history, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
There's been occult practices forever. So.
Yeah. I almost said something, but I'm like, no, I don't.
Tell me later.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. I'm gonna.
I will do it.
So he got, he actually got really into the Syrian demon Pazuzu, which some of you may know if you've watched The Exorcist. That's the demon Exorcist that infects Reagan through the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, spoiler alert. Just in case,
You know.
I would never, because there are so many. Kurt had, did not see The Godfather until 2 years ago.
What?
We own like 1,500 movies.
Wait.
Yep.
He
doesn't like it.
Sidebar. Hold on.
Side quest.
Sidebar to this whole thing. You're telling me that your husband, who teases me about being Italian and I'm gonna end up with the horse head in my bed, has never seen The Godfather?
He has now, because of me.
2 years ago, but he was making
It was before that, but he's been making fun of me being Italian.
He's been making fun of me being Italian for like 18 years.
It was at the longer than 2 years for sure. He doesn't listen to this, maybe five, but still. Yeah, I was like, what the how have you
so he was making Godfather references just from what he knew, and I'm just saying it's Kurt teases me about being Italian, and
he had never even seen the movie.
He's never
so he literally just knew it from like hearing
just references
seeing,
and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah. Sorry, that was such a sidebar, okay.
I totally was blown away by that too. I was like, how are you telling me you've never there was something else too, I can't remember. Anyway.
Sorry, but okay. So
he was super into Pazuzu. That was demon that he was into, and like I said, you know, his dad was always bringing home stories and all kinds of things, and he ended up getting his hands on some like crazy like underbelly under the counter subculture snuff magazines.
Oh,
and one of them I totally can't remember because I forget the Japanese guy. He was a cannibal, and he killed this American college student that he was obsessed with.
And he ate her.
Yeah, I'm like, I know it too. It's right there. It's like Iwazaki Ijuma. So it's right there. So he got this magazine, and in there, because that man only went, he only went to jail for a little bit. Issei Sagawa. That's right. And
I'm not going to try because
Issei Sagawa.
Mike, I can and picture
he,
his
he,
face.
He did go to jail for like a little bit, but then he got out because they're like, you're crazy. You know, you obviously weren't in your right mind. And I know that dude, he still talks about, I know him personally. No. I know I've heard of him where he's like, yeah, I still want to eat people, but I won't. Yeah. So anyway.
So
Nico at like the age of 12.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe. Has gotten his hands on this magazine, and this has like a full interview of this guy bragging how he ate it, how he cooked it. It's not like a news article, and it's got
like
pieces of her.
It's like an expose type
of thing. And it has pictures of her corpse all chopped up and stuff. So Nico's like, that's like his.
All about it now.
So he has like this visual that he can hang on to, whatever. So he's like that tween age. Well, his family has to move again. They move to Portugal. He cannot speak Portuguese, which that language is beautiful, and it seems so hard.
It does.
It's crazy. So he is, you know, his family is wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, these kids, it was specifically like a school for expats, but it was still predominantly local rich kids who went to this really nice. It was like a private school.
Okay.
So he was still the odd kid out, the really white kid, like, he couldn't speak the language. He was weird and, you know, to himself. And so it was like he said, he knew they were talking about him, even though he couldn't understand,
yeah.
He couldn't understand the language, but he knew they wanted nothing to do with him. And it made him feel even more isolated than he already was.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is, you know, he's getting bullied really hard. And now he just goes straight from like, I want to kill him. Like, I want to kill him. And he starts fantasizing about it. He's trying to think of how he could, what he could do. It's like 0 to 100. He's 12.
Okay. Yeah.
And so.
It's just so weird to think. I know. You know, we have 12-year-olds.
Oh, yes. It's like, yeah. So it became like a full-fledged obsession. But the obsession was like he had to stab them. That's what he wanted. He wanted to stab them.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually went through with his plan in his head. He brought a knife that he was going to use. He threatened another student, and you know, he got, they took it serious. He didn't get in trouble. He was going to be mentally evaluated.
Yeah.
Well, conveniently his family had to move before he could get psychologically evaluated. And I'm like, is it because it looked bad, so his dad wanted to just get them out
just
of there,
get out of here,
or did he really have to move? But yeah. Either way, that sucks for him. He had a chance to get help, probably. And either just his dad couldn't figure out staying longer. Like, it's a fuck up.
Yeah, I guess circumstances can change, because it's kind of like what you were saying. You had a ball rolling with something for Lenore, and then COVID happened or whatever, and everything got all like what it put to the side. And yeah. So it very well could be something for work. And it's like, no, we actually have to move, and the timing's off.
But they should have still like
followed through, maybe wherever they went.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he's having some issues.
Let's get him evaluated, make sure everything's okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, obviously that doesn't happen. Now he's gotten to the point. Nothing has changed. He hasn't hurt anybody. His obsessions are still the same. He's 16 now, and he's antisocial, as he's always been. And he basically said that he had no love, compassion. He was like a sociopath, you know, a complete antisocial behavior. He was like, I felt nothing for anyone. He's like, of course I could care for people. I cared about my family. I loved my grandpa. But even how he talked about it was like, I mean, of course I was sad. I liked him. I was like, really? You liked him? Yeah. So you can tell, like, he's just completely devoid of feelings in general.
See, that's so weird, because like, when I don't know if you do this, but you know, there's a saying, you can love somebody so much but not like them sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
I will tell that to
about family members. And like, I love them, but I don't like them because they're not a great person. But I grew up loving them until I realized they were shit.
Yeah. And it's like, I love you so much, but I really do not like you.
No,
and,
exactly.
It's possible. I love you, but I just don't. And, and it's funny, because I'll even say that with Troy sometimes, when he, you know, my oldest son, he's a teenager, and I will tell him, I love you so much, but I really do not like your behavior, and I don't like the person you are right now.
You're being hurtful.
Let's fix that, you know, kind of thing.
And for him,
so for him, it's like opposite. It's like, I liked him.
Yeah,
like, he should be like, I loved him so much, or whatever. It's so weird. It's like opposite.
There's there's nothing in his eyes, you know, that you just see it. It's like devoid. It's so blank.
He's a sociopath. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so but he was fully aware of, like,
that he was,
I don't like people. I have no empathy for them.
So a lot of self-awareness.
I don't have sympathy for people. Yeah, he didn't like animals. Like, he didn't like anything. He did not like anything except dead shit and the occult and his own selfishness. You know, that's the thing. Sociopaths are very selfish. They only want for themselves. And okay, it's like, fine, don't hurt people. Whatever.
Yeah.
Live in a cabin in the fucking forest and leave people.
And look at your books. And just,
exactly.
Don't actually do anything.
So they have moved back to Paris now. And, you know, he's 16. He's back in high school, trying another school, which that sucks. You're going back and forth to all these different, who knows how many schools the poor kid went to.
Yeah.
Because I still do feel for him at this point.
Yeah, he's still a minor.
Yeah, he's still, you know, your brain does not develop till you're 25. It's not done. He shouldn't have tried to stab anybody. He should have gotten help. There was like time, maybe.
Yeah.
So he's still being bullied and ostracized because he's like long hair, black, you know, little goth kid. Yeah. Like, no makeup or anything, but just like, not that that matters, but just like the dark goth kid. And not a thing in the early 90s.
You mean my husband in high school?
Oh my God, right?
Yeah. Ooh, he wishes.
Exactly.
He doesn't listen to us either.
So he definitely is like, I don't want to have anything to do with these people. He did not care. What he started to do was he started spending time in the catacombs, which, you know, most people are aware, but that's okay if you don't know. The catacombs underneath Paris and France is like where all the bones are.
Yeah.
It's like the overflow of back in the day. And so they're all stacked up.
Sorry.
Yes.
I'm not talking. Yeah. Like, no,
it's okay. It's okay.
Okay, that's where you got the
bones.
That's
not what I meant, because I'm realizing like you're not connecting anything.
No, I'm not. So. Like, yeah, yeah,
that's where the bones.
Well, that's where I'm
from.
Like, now I'm getting it.
Yeah, but see, it's funny because I've talked about this years before, and so it's not like you're not catching it. It's okay though, because it was like a one-off thing. So anyway,
well, we talk about a lot we do of talk stuff. A lot.
So he was, and you know what? I don't even think I talked about it in person. I put it on Facebook.
Oh, so, well, I'm like, okay,
yeah,
then
you
now,
really have, yeah.
I really am barely on there. Yeah,
that's good. I wish I was. Yeah. Now I'm just like, wow, I just realized that it's 24 degrees tomorrow. And I'm like, that's what I talk about, the weather and the cats and the chickens.
No, I actually posted for the first time since Kiki's birthday.
Yeah.
Posted in March for Kiki's birthday, and then I posted last night because Kerosin was being
cute.
He was cute.
So cute. Yeah. So,
but sorry. So.
No, no, you're fine. You're totally fine. So,
I'm like, I was not... That's, remembering this.
No, you're
so.
Fine. That's where he hung out. He wow. hung out in the catacombs, which
just
are
sneak some bones in his bag every time
which
he
were
goes.
Just tunnels of yeah which
that's
were just
crazy.
Tunnels of underground,
and they're not monitored.
I don't know how it is, but like I think most people aren't going in there to fucking
true
stuff
to hang
he
out
he was breaking into it. You have to break it.
Okay, like so it's in. Not like he was just like mm-mm, walking
no
through
he was sneaking in
following
and
a tour guide and like right, sneaking a bone no, on the no, side no. Okay,
can you imagine what kind of ghosts you have?
I know.
No, thank you. Well, ghosts, that's how you get ghosts.
Yeah.
And the other places he would hang out in were the cemeteries.
Okay.
The only time he said it was the only time he felt like relaxed and at peace. You know, they're quiet.
I was just gonna say they're quiet.
Yeah, they're quiet. They're usually
they
pretty.
Are made to be nice.
Uh-huh. They're yeah, they're like parks. They have benches. Mm-hmm. You know, my last case talked about hanging out because they're beautiful.
They
like
are.
Most of them are really pretty because obviously except like the unkempt ones, but these mm-hmm. are popular.
Yeah,
so,
the one over close to us isn't mm-hmm, that
yeah, it's really beautiful.
Bad,
it's also like
yeah.
the oldest in our area too.
Yeah. It's and it's also where, like, your family
everybody
is.
Yeah. yeah.
like, your whole family.
Seriously. It sucks, though, because they're not all in one area.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing where my dad's buried. My dad's mm-hmm. buried in one area because he was a veteran. Mm. And then, so he's in the military part. And then my grandparents are in another part. And my uncle's in another part. And then my cousin's in another part. It's yeah. like, they're all over, but they're all in the same place.
Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, let me just walk over yeah. after if it's sad because it's like right. you go to a funeral yeah. and you're like, let me go over and mm-hmm. say, here, show the kids. Here's where my dad is. Here's where my grandparents are.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine going just for fun to hang out in a cemetery. I mean, like we said, it is nice, but it's mm-hmm. the he's doing it for morbid reasons. I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. Originally, he was just hanging out.
Uh-huh.
But he eventually realizes like this isn't enough. And he wants to be closer to the death that he remembers seeing as a child, that comfort of the casket, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught himself to lockpick, and he started breaking into the crypts and the tombs. Like they were, one of them was like a really old family tomb. This is the one he talks about first.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was from like the late 1800s or something okay. like that, but it was a family tomb. So when he had gotten into it, he was like, one of them looked pretty new, like newer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to pull it, you know, out. You have to like remove a piece of something mm-hmm. sometimes. And so he pulled the casket out, and there's bolts, you know, there are bolts that close the lid and you uh-huh. have to remove the bolts. So he removed the bolts, and he said that when he opened it up, the smell that hit him was so bad and disgusting that like he nearly passed out.
Oh my gosh. Because
it was
I
the
imagine.
First time he'd ever
yeah,
you know, smelled that.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembers saying that it was like, you know, that you could tell the body had been in there for a really long time. I think he said it had been like 6-8 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. But that she looked, it was a woman, and that she looked pretty okay considering, but it was still really, really gross and it was grody.
Yeah,
well, he says that basically he went into like a fugue state and he blacked out. And when he came to, he had apparently stabbed this corpse like 50 times and he was covered in gunk up to like his arm. Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you want to gag now.
This is a shit episode.
Yeah. So he basically, what he said is like, he said that he basically wanted to push the boundaries of humanity. Because this was going to do it. He desecrated a corpse. That's
like,
he wanted to like separate himself from humans because he just was like, not that he thought he was better than them, but he was just like, I am not them. I'm not like them. He was
yeah.
mentally well. And, you know, he ended up like trying to find a community that would be friends with him and he could find people. He thought that he would like find them in the subculture, like goth and BDSM scene and stuff. Well, guess what? He fucking didn't. because people don't want to stab rotten bodies. Yeah. And, you know, he had a girlfriend for a little while. But then when she basically was like just offended by his grossness, his like ideologies as he started opening up. Yeah. And so that didn't work out. So he still, you know, he the series of relationships he had were like, not that that's wrong. It's just they were like sex workers. One time I mentioned it was like she was a dominatrix. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how those women, maybe he probably learned. I'm sure he learned and was like, just don't talk about that.
Yeah,
and
just don't mention it.
Probably a relationship for more of like a sexual gratification. Like, mm-hmm. she's my girlfriend, but he doesn't seem to give a shit about anybody.
No.
So, in his mind, they were basically like, oh, you're all posers. Like, you think you're all dark and shit, but you ain't about that Satan life. Like, it was so dumb. And also, though, he's like a teenager still.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. I know. Yeah. Yeah. So, around 20, he actually enlisted in the military. He was like, I just need to do something. Get away from here, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. let's just try something. Because, you know, he doesn't have like any outside of school training. So he's like, mm-hmm. well, that's what a lot of kids do, go in the military. So
yeah.
He becomes a weapons specialist, but he's just like, he's bored of it. And again, it's not the United States. Here, you have to do contracts a minimum of 2 years. He got out after a year. Like, no problems, no nothing.
Like, I just tried it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he left after only a year. And apparently in that time, he did steal some guns. I don't know if it was the 22 that he stole. It does not say. But he did steal some stuff. He enrolled in college for psychology, but eventually, I know, right? But then the thing was, specifically the college that he went to had this like really, really tall clock tower kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to emulate the school shooting that dude committed in the 60s. I cannot remember his name right now. I didn't write it down because it didn't matter. But anyway, he was like, wow, that looks just like the tower he was in, and I want to do that. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And this is the plan he forges forward with.
Uh-huh.
Well, eventually, this is the way that he's thinking. He's thinking, if I kill them, I take their life, I'm like ascending to a different plane of humanity, and like maybe he could kind of absorb their energy in some way by taking their life. Like he said, he's like, it actually wasn't about hurting them. He's like, it was just about them dying so that I could be stronger. It's not, okay. You know, he's not mentally well. But it was interesting because he was like, it wasn't about hurting them. He's like, it was about killing them, not the hurt. He didn't want to hurt. It wasn't that. It wasn't forced on hurting someone specifically. It's, you know, some people want that. And
he pain was like, part of it. He's like, I just want the end result, the satisfaction of the end result.
Yeah. So, this is when, right after this, he changed his mind because he was like, it's not worth it. And he became a morgue attendant. Now, anybody can be a morgue attendant because you're not doing anything outside of like just assisting. You're going to you're going to take organs, put them in a bag. You're going to you don't have to have training for that.
No, I had actually looked in at our local morgue with their openings.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got it. I was looking at if I could do something like that. No.
I still want to go into mortuary science, but I would have to take the Metro Link. Mm-hmm. Is that what that train thing is called? I always get it confused with the one in Portland.
To Riverside?
No, it has to go all the way to LA.
Oh, to LA. Yeah, that's a long day. That's a metro.
Yeah. So he became a morgue attendant. You know, just what he always wanted. He just gets to be around death all the time. And he was so happy with his job, and he took it pretty seriously. And he was responsible for doing the stitching of the V incision because he was so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could do, like, the thing is, it's just a whip stitch, like a blanket stitch on the end.
I'm pretty good at that.
Really? Yep. And so he was just like good. He just did it really fast, and he was good at it and efficient. And so that was his job. It was his specialty. Okay. And he took really, you know, he took good care of
pride
what he
in
was
it
trying.
Yeah.
So what he also took, you know, real good care of hiding was that he was cutting strips of muscles from the flesh. And I'm guessing he like probably did it through the incision so that it would be hidden.
Yeah.
And he would eat it.
Oh,
and he said, but he would make sure to check their medical records so that they weren't sick. I wish y'all could see what Amy is doing. She's hugging her own body and like shrinking in her chair.
That's so gross.
And I'm just like, listen to what happens next. I know, it is gross. It is gross.
You know, safety first, I guess.
Right? And yeah, he was like, sometimes he would cook it, sometimes he wouldn't. And so again, he is like a lot of cannibals. They think they're absorbing like their energy, yeah, like for Satan. And he likes how it tasted. He doesn't do it a lot, but he does do it. And he said that this is something really interesting, because there are interviews of him, and he did originally say that he was sexually attracted to dead bodies. He did say that he like diddled them a little, but then he took it back later and he was like, I was just wanting to shock everybody, but come on. I really don't know. At the same time, if you're going to admit to cannibalism, why won't you just admit to necrophilia?
Maybe.
I don't know. But he was like, no, I didn't do that. He took it back later. Maybe it's
against his values.
Maybe. Right? So he had another job at the same time. And the other job was a courier for a blood donation center.
Oh, that's where he got the blood. Just sneak one every once in a while.
Yep. Oh. So he would steal it and drink it, though there is the blood spots all over the house. It's his bloody ass dumb Kool-Aid hands, because he's fucking spilling shit. It's not funny, but at least these people didn't die.
Like, I'm just, exactly.
Trying to lighten the load here.
I guess for the people looking in, it's like, there's so many bones and what's all the blood? And like, at least it
was. He's like, I just spilled my dreams.
I just borrowed them.
Yeah, exactly. So he would say that he was like addicted to the blood. He said it gave him like a high euphoric feeling, you know. The thing is, what's crazy is I actually did some research on this, and there are doctors that are like, well, here's the thing. If you drink too much blood, you're going to make yourself really sick. You're going to vomit. You'll get diarrhea. But it actually could make you feel pretty good, because that burst of iron, the vitamins, the minerals, like, it's gross. But that's probably what he was feeling on top of his mental health. Psychosis. Yeah,
so he's on his oxytocin high and from what he's serotonin doing, burst
dopamine,
from
all of it.
All of the good
his blood boner
stuff.
All of it. Yep. So it is so it is realistic that he probably was getting a feeling from it
psychologically and physically.
So he said that he actually loved his, of course, he loved his mortuary job, but he had three coworkers who he said were like really, they're fucking disrespectful to the corpses.
I'm sorry. I don't think they're taking little bites out of them. Like, just a nibble here and there. How so? What's his justification?
Yeah. So he said that, like, they didn't deserve to work with the dead. They weren't good enough. They weren't, like, you know, whatever. And so he planned to kill all three of them.
Oh.
He makes a lot of plans to kill. What the fuck? He doesn't even follow through with anything.
Yeah.
Well,
you know. Except so, that one.
So he wanted to kill these three, and he starts making plans to follow through. But this is where he's going to culminate with that mass school shooting. And so that's why he didn't do it then. He's like, I'm not going to do it right now. But then this is where he's like, okay, I'm going to kill the three, and then I'm going to go shoot up the school like I wanted to. But he needs practice. So here's the little thing. We were talking about this yesterday with the birth of the internet. So he goes to the library and he uses something called Minitel. Minitel was actually invented in France in 82 before the World Wide Web happened. So this was like the precursor of the internet. And the way that it worked, I think, was they hooked up the phone line. It looks like a like an old school Atari box.
Okay.
And of course, like any youngins are like, what is that?
Google it.
Exactly. And but it had like a little tiny monitor, you know, with the radioactive green letters. And you could type on it.
Okay.
So it doesn't say I'm going to look, but I'm thinking like your username is like the phone number or like maybe the location. No, probably not the location, because that could be dangerous. So I'm guessing the phone number.
Yeah.
I didn't look a ton into it. Well, this was something that people used a lot for drug deals, like sex work, those kinds of things, because you were totally private if you used it at a library.
Yeah.
There was no like you weren't going to check the VPN and shit.
Yeah.
So he goes here, he gets on Minitel, and this is when he meets Thierry. Thierry is, his background is a little befuddled because it kind of sounds like he He was a classical musician. That's beautiful. He was a restaurateur. He was in a committed relationship, but he was into like the dark, dirty stuff. So mm-hmm. he would, you know, engage in those activities, which is fine, although disrespectful to your partner. But mm-hmm. they don't know if they were okay with that. That's not something that's brought up. Even his family was kind of like, eh, he yeah. does what he does.
Yeah.
So he gave Nico his address for a hookup. And so he's ready. Nico goes to his apartment. Thierry opens the door and Nico steps in, and Thierry is not, he has not even closed the door yet. Nico has pulled out his gun. Thierry closes the door. He turns around and Nico shoots him in the eyeball.
Whoa.
Like
right away.
That's it. Yep. He didn't want to do anything else but that. It was literally just that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And so, unfortunately, poor Thierry did not die from that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like kinda what like we were the, talking
with
about.
The ice pick.
Like,
and
what
the
fuck? I have a little dumb thing about that at the end, too.
Oh, okay.
Just, anyway, not that it matters. So, he just walks around Thierry's apartment, watching him bleed on the floor. He's like, I'm just going to look around and see what's up. So, he just is walking around, looking at his stuff.
He's just like bleeding mm-hmm. on the floor. Wow.
Yep, while Thierry's bleeding on the floor in the entryway, like the foyer. He goes back over. Thierry's still alive. So he shot him a bunch more times. Like several. They said several. I mean, a 22 is a six shooter, so probably three is yeah. something. And he said that Thierry was making really terrible sounds, and you know, but he knew that it was that he was probably gonna die soon.
Mm-hmm.
So Nico walks into his kitchen. He sits down and he just eats some cookies and is just watching him.
That is some
he's just waiting. Uh-huh. He's behavior. Like, I'll just sit here and hang out.
Ew.
So, well, unfortunately, he did not die. He was still not dead. So Nico goes over and grabs this massive planter pot and he crushes his head. And then that is what I think had killed
gosh.
Him in the end. Had finished it. He would have
yeah.
bled to death. But that is what finished him off in the end.
Okay.
And so, yeah, in Nico's mind, it was like doing him a favor. He didn't remember, though.
Still,
he said
yeah.
it wasn't about the pain or hurting them.
Yeah.
He
just
wanted
the end
to
result,
see it. Yeah. So the sitting and eating the cookies was just kind of like, well,
this is
what's
taking
happening?
A while. Yeah.
Like, what is, I'm just going to watch. You know, he'd never done it before.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So now this, adding insult to injury, like literally and figuratively, he was like curious. So he took pens and was like poking them in the bullet holes to see how far they went in.
Ew.
Yeah, it's just gross. Like unnecessary.
So he's literally poking and prodding.
Yep, he's
That's
just
disgusting.
In, you know, he's just looking. So he cleans his prints off from all the things he touched, the fucking cookie packet, whatever. And he takes Thierry's wallet, ID, checkbook. I think like not a VCR. Maybe it was a VCR because he was trying to get the tape recorder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he stole some things, I'm thinking, too, because he wanted them, but mm-hmm. also to make it look more like a robbery type
yeah.
of situation. I mean, it was, but not for that reason.
Not for the reason of a robbery. Yeah.
Right. So in total, this whole thing, he said, took less than a half hour.
Wow.
Like, it seems like it was as long. It wasn't
like a long
at all.
Process.
Nope,
wow.
It wasn't at all. He had every single intention of killing again. His plan was he went to the shop with that dumbass ID.
Uh-huh.
It was hours after he had just killed Thierry.
Oh, wow. So it was like right
so,
after.
And because of his, like Thierry's lifestyle, mm-hmm. he had been missing for a while. And it just happened to be that his family had just found him.
Yeah.
His family found him like that.
That's
they
crazy.
Were looking for him and they came in the house and he's full of bullet holes. His head is crushed.
I can't even
like,
imagine.
Yeah. So that's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So his plan, the tape recorder was so that he could record himself murdering his three coworkers. And to maybe I go and probably to help film the shooting of the school. That's what he planned.
Yeah.
He had planned. So remember, this was the very end of October
mm-hmm.
when he had used the ID card. By this point, when he was caught, he was planning on committing the crime on Christmas Day.
Oh,
so
wow.
like what a dick! Like,
yeah,
golly. So thankfully, you know, he was caught. He was in custody for about 2 years, and he had a lot of psychological testing done at this
so.
Point. Yeah. while obviously he was not mentally well, they were like, he's smart as hell and he knows exactly what he was doing. There is no doubt, shadow of doubt, that he was fully aware.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was, you know, fit to stand trial. It was May 1997. He was charged and convicted of premeditated murder, fraud, armed robbery, falsification of an ID. But surprisingly here, get this. This is such a fucking European thing because I've seen it before.
Uh-huh.
They did not charge him with the desecration of the corpse, the grave robbing, or the cannibalism, or the theft of the blood.
What?
Because that was, like, too fucked up. They didn't want that, like, in the paper, in the news. And yeah, they just didn't want
it's
it
enough to
look.
Just get this stuff. Exactly. It'll put them away as long as they need to.
Uh-huh. Because also the thing was, cannibalism is actually only illegal in one state in the United States.
What state?
I think, like, Iowa. It's illegal.
Utah?
Something. Maybe. I think, I swear it is, it like probably Utah. Is Utah. But and at this time, in this time frame, because there mm-hmm. is a case I want to eventually cover, and that's where I had learned it at, was cannibalism was not illegal over there at this point either. So wow. They weren't going to be able to charge him with cannibalism because there's no precedent. But like the grave robbing. Why do I keep trying to say robbering?
Robbery.
The grave robbing and stuff. So
wow.
He went to prison for 12 years, and he got out in 8 of March 2002.
What?
Yep.
For killing a
for
person.
For killing a dude in... Yep.
Wow.
Europe does this a lot. Because here's the thing, though. I will say... Yeah. I will say... I know. The thing is, too, that this is something I know as well, too, is that the European prison system is not like ours. They actually do... constant therapy. It's like nonstop. Yeah. The amount that they go through, but still, like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I will tell you later because I really want your first impression, though. Okay. I'm not saying it here. You will only hear it on Patreon.
Oh.
On Mommy's After Hours.
Okay.
There is a twist and it involves me.
What? What? Bitch. Are we recording next Patreon? Can we record Patreon? I have nothing for Patreon. Are we doing Patreon?
Well, see, we were kind of also like, we're talking about our 1 year anniversary.
Yes,
so.
I know. Why you do this to me?
Well, I'm doing it to them. I'll probably tell you, but I do really want like your first holy shit.
Okay, so we have to like immediately record a mini pay. How long is this Patreon?
No, it'll literally take me maybe 10 minutes.
Okay, so this will be a 10 minute Patreon that, okay. Oh, that's a good one. You got to come over to Patreon.
You have to.
Oh, shit. Now we got to do a lot more Patreon. We've been kind of slacking.
We'll get to it eventually.
We're getting
though,
there, but
yeah.
What?
Yep.
Okay, we got time because this comes out in like 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
Ah, why you do this to me?
I'm doing it to them too.
No, you're doing it to me right now, but I get instant gratification in the fact that I get to listen to it in like 5 minutes. So.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm all sweaty.
Ooh, that was crazy. Why you do that?
Gross. It's so fucked up. Yeah.
Now my mind is racing.
Mm-hmm.
That is really gross. I kept getting, man, this is like an episode to gag for. Like,
it really
that
was
like, well, I was just,
And the thing, honestly, stuff. Was like, you know, he, because of his lack of empathy and all the feelings, like, he was like, yeah, you know, I just stabbed the corpse till I was up to my shoulder in goo. And you're like, what?
That.
And it's not the only time he did it, by the way. Like, this was what he did all the time. He would break into the caskets, into the coffins, into the tombs, whatever, open it up, stab the shit out of them, steal some bones, maybe, and then bail. Like, this is a thing he did a lot. And
this
I think is that
gross.
Is what, like, it always has to get more and more and more.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he was comfortable with
escalate,
that was it.
Yeah.
And, but it
and then it's got
to
take the next level. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was messed up.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
That was horrible.
You're welcome.
That was so awful. Good job. Wow. Okay, so then we're going to go now so I can hear. Because I don't want to wait.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, stay crafty.
And not crimey or cannibally. Bye. Bye.